Begin the current daven sechs. Yavam is daf kuf yud zayin. Begin on the bottom of kuf tes zayin and beis, three lines up from the bottom of the yamut. But the gemara continues with the next mishnah. Again, continuing in the theme of this parak, with another machlokes b'sham b'shil regarding this halacha that we believe a woman that her husband has died. Which classic case is that they went overseas and she comes back and she says, "I survived, but he's dead." So in that the mishnah begins and says, "B'shami oimrim." This halacha is tinase, as we said, that everyone agrees that she can go ahead and get married, but moreover is vetitel ksubasa, that she could actually go ahead and collect her ksuba based on this testimony that she's saying, which means, say, when the marriage is over, in the case of, let's say, when he's dead, which is she's believed to say that he's dead, not only is it, as we had set up until now, that she could go ahead and get married to someone else, she could even collect monetary law based on that and get her ksuba. So, I mean, they argue. They say, no, tinase, yes, because of iguna, because of this halachic requirement that we want her to get married, so we were lenient. But she cannot go ahead and collect monetary law because of this testimony. Now, you permitted a very stringent, prohibited relationship, that of a married woman. You said that although she has a chazak up until now, that she was married, based on her testimony, you allow her to marry someone else. Not the moment akali, not going to permit a lenient halacha in regards to arayus, which is monetary law collecting ksuba. So Bishil respond to Bishamai. Mitzina, we find as we continue on top of Kofi Zayin Mid Aleph, she'en achen nechnasin lonachla apia. The brothers don't go ahead and collect their share of the brother's inheritance based on what she said that lets her get married, because the Torah says, you need two witnesses to testify regarding halachic law. Now, that includes monetary law too. Now, although, yes, you're proving out that I permit Eishes Ish, that's because for her to get remarried, that was a specific leniency the rabbis permitted because of Iguna, because we don't know how to be tied down that she can't have a marriage with anyone for the rest of her life because we don't know what happened to her husband. But that's a specific leniency. You can't go ahead and then project that further and to say, oh, you permit that, so then permit things that are more lenient. No, it's specifically that. So even something that's more lenient, like we see the brothers, don't go ahead and start divvying up his portion, his inheritance, because that they inherit him. Because we don't say that he's necessarily dead. It's only for her to be able to get married, and therefore even herself, she's not going to be able to go ahead and get her ksuba. It's just to allow her to get married. But Amar Lo Misham Bishul, Bisham said with a different taina. They said, but v'haloi misefer ksuba nilmud. Look, read the ksuba itself, and you'll see that from the ksuba itself, the fact that she's getting married says she can get her ksuba. Because shu kaisav lo, what does the husband write to the wife when he's getting married in the ksuba? Shim tinasi la'acher, that if you get married to someone else, and here she's getting married to someone else, albeit based on because rabbis are concerned and because of iguna, but she's getting married to someone else, so he writes, titli masha kaisav lechi. So then you take what I wrote for you in this dowry, and therefore, if she's getting married to someone else, and that you agree to, so then for sure she'll be able to take her ksuba. And the Mishnah says, V'chozu b'shil lo hiris k'divrei b'shamer. As we had in the previous Mishnah, b'shil ultimately retracted, ended up paskening, like b'shamai, that the woman not only gets the ability to remarry, but to get her ksuba too. Now, Amar Rav Chizda says as follows. He says, Nisyabma, regarding this halacha of the Mishnah, it moreover continues, that is, if let's say she's believed to say her husband died. Now, let's say she had no children. So she goes and does Yibum. On that, Rav Chizda says, Yavama nichnas lanachla alpeya. So her Yavam goes and inherits his brother's estate based on the testimony that this woman is believed on to say that he's dead, which allows her to do Yibum with the Yavam. And then, as we learned in Daf Memam and Aleph, that a Yavam that does Yibum to the Yavama inherits his brother's inheritance. As Rav Chizda illustrates, he says, because Haim Beishamai, as was said in our Mishnah, Darshu Medrash Ksuba, and ultimately Beisil agreed to that, he expounded the words of the Ksuba, which is, as he said, that if you get him, it says, if you marry someone else, you get the Ksuba, so here she's marrying, so she gets the Ksuba. So Rav Chizda says, so Anulei Nidrash Medrash Taira, if he could expound the words of the Ksuba and show that she gets the Ksuba, can we not expound the words of the Torah to show that the Yavam will get the brother's inheritance if she's ultimately doing Yibim with him? Because the Pasuk says in Devarim, it says regarding Yibim, it says, Yokum Hashem Ochav Amrachman. The Torah says, he will stand in the place of his brother's name, the brother that's doing Yibim, Baharikam, and he's doing Yibim. And if he's doing Yibim, the Torah says, the one that stands in his brother's name gets the inheritance, and therefore, it doesn't make a difference how it is, just like we said regarding her Ksuba, since he's doing Yibim, based on her testimony, and although generally brothers cannot divvy up someone's estate based on her testimony, but here, since it's allowing Yibum, and the Yavim gets the Ksuba, and gets the brother's estate, so therefore, the Yavim will get the brother's estate. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this halacha that we're agreeing on, that the woman gets the Ksuba, but it depends how it's presented. As the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, let's say Bas Labezdin, V'Amar Meis Baili, which was the classic case that we're always essentially saying in these Mishnayos, where a woman comes to Bezdin, and she says, look, my husband died. So hetiruni linase, permit me to get married. So the halacha is, as we said, because of iguna, matirunais linase, we permit her to get married, and benais like ksubasa, as we said that everybody ultimately agrees, we also give her ksuba, because since she's believed to get married to someone else, and in the ksuba he said, when you marry someone else, you get the ksuba, so she gets the ksuba. However, let's say when she comes to Bezdin, she says, tnuli ksubasi, my husband died, give me my ksuba. Oh, then Rav Nachman says, no, afli hinase matir naisa. Then, not only do we not give her the ksuba, we don't even allow her to get married based on her testimony that she's saying her husband died. My time, because I died to the ksuba soy. What's her intention when she's coming to Bezdin? What's her claim? Yes, you said a fact, your husband died, but what do you want from us? You said, so give me my ksuba. Oh, you're coming for monetary law? For money? You need two witnesses. The fact that you're saying he's dead, that doesn't give you a ksuba. If you come to say to get married, then we lie to get married, and then by default you'll get the ksuba. But if that's what you're coming for, then you're not even believed to get married. Now, Ibailu had the following question based on Rav Nachman's halacha. Let's say a woman comes to Bezdin and she says, "Hitiruni lihi nasi, look, my husband died, permit me to get married, v'tnuli ksubasi, and give me my ksuba." Maha, what's halacha over there? As the Gemara explains the question. Kiven de amr ksubasa, since she mentioned her ksuba there in her claim, whoa, I died to the ksuba, so you're obviously coming for the intention of your ksuba, and therefore we can't give you that, because that claim, if you're getting it by default, fine. But if you're claiming that, no, you need two witnesses for that. Or maybe, call mili di isla le'inish amalu le'beidin. Maybe, whenever a person comes to Bezdin, so although they might have a primary claim, like in this case, the woman's primary obvious is she wants to get married to someone else, and we permit her, but once someone's coming to Bezdin, so they put all the claims, you know, you wait and you have all the things. Okay, and by the way, I'm here, I want this and that, and take care of all these different elements. And therefore, although she's mentioning ksuba, that's not her primary. And therefore, we could still hold on to the fact that she's really just saying, get me married. But additionally, she's saying that I also want to take my ksuba, and that we learn from the ksuba that she gets it when she gets remarried. So maybe that although she's mentioning ksuba, that shouldn't detract from the primary focus, which is to get married, which that she's believed for. Now the Gemara says, "V'imtim slam." And if you're going to say like this latter, that kol mili de islay le'inish amalahu lebeidina, that it's not really, she's not coming for the ksuba. She's coming to get married. It's just that once you're there, so you want to process all the claims that you have, which, okay, so once I'm believed to get married, so then I want to get my ksuba, I want to move on. So then the question is, if let's say she says the other order, let's say she first says tenuli ksubasi v'hatiruni lihinase mach. What's halacha over there? When she first mentions the ksuba, and then she mentions the fact about getting married to someone else, and that's the question is halacha v'adei adeita the ksuba. So here would we say that no, that obviously our primary thing is she wants the money. By the way, I want to get remarried to someone else also because that's what she mentioned first, and therefore she wouldn't be believed. Oidim or maybe hold de lo yada b'may mishtar. Maybe you say that no, that's not necessarily her primary thing. She just doesn't know what claim will work in Bezdin that she'll be permitted to get married to someone else. In other words, maybe from the fact that she ultimately mentions the idea about getting married to someone else, she's really revealing her primary intention, which is that she just wants to get married to someone else. Now, although the first thing she says was, give me my ksuba, maybe she thought that that would be the key. Maybe she thinks if she'll start saying it's about marriage, you're going to say, whoa, maybe he's not really dead. Maybe if you say just a monetary process to get you along, maybe that will show them that I'm not really out here to just get out of the marriage, and really I'm just concerned for my own welfare that maybe he's dead if I claim the ksuba. And therefore maybe, but since she ultimately mentioned marriage, maybe that'll show that that is really her primary idea, which generally you would say that's more concerning for a woman. And therefore, maybe she should be allowed to get remarried and get her ksuba. I think we're supposed to take a little stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be in such a phraseology about how we can decide if primary is for marriage and therefore she's believed and gets her ksuba, or primary is for money and therefore she wouldn't get her ksuba, because for money, if you're coming directly to claim that, you need to have shnei edim, two witnesses. Nothing more continues in the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme of when the husband dies. But here, different than the previous Mishnah, is the woman herself is not making the claim, but other people are making the claim. So the Mishnah says, Hakol nemanim lo ida. Everybody's believed, as we said, even one aid, and as we said in Ha'isha Rabbah, is believed to say that this woman's husband died and then she could remarry based on that. Chutz, however, the Mishnah says, five different exceptions to this rule. Mechamoisa, except for her mother-in-law. If her mother-in-law comes and says, oh, my son, your husband passed away, she's not believed for her daughter-in-law to get married to someone else. Neither is it believed by Ubas Chamoisa. If it's her mother-in-law's daughter, it's her sister-in-law, but specifically it's her mother-in-law's daughter. Or if it's her rasa, or if her co-wife, they're both married to this man, comes and says, our husband died, she's not believed to have this woman remarry. Via Vimta, or even her Yavam's wife, which means to say her brother-in-law's, meaning her husband's paternal brother's wife, is not believed. Ubas Baila, and neither is her stepdaughter. Her husband's daughter is not believed to say that her father, which means her stepdaughter's father, meaning her husband, that he died. None of these five women are believed to let her go ahead and remarry. Now, the reason for all these things is because we suspect by all these five women that they hate and they intend to cause harm and trouble for this woman. And the reason is because the mother-in-law hates her daughter-in-law because she says to herself, she says, this woman is coming along and consuming all my hard work that I did and I brought into this marriage and I'm giving over to my son. She's coming and just walking right in and taking it all away. So there's that hatred. So too, the daughter of the mother-in-law says, that my sister-in-law is going to be consuming all the work and the effort that my father and my mother brought into this marriage, and I'm being pushed to the side because the son inherits and his wife is taking everything. And regarding the tsara, that's pretty obvious when you have two co-wives, how they're even called tsaras, they're rivals, they cause problems to each other, so of course there's some enmity there. Now moreover, it's even more is that a Yavama, where in this context the word Yavama means to say her Yavam's wife, she's afraid that maybe her sister-in-law, meaning her husband's brother, will die without any children and then they'll become rivals. So even now she's already has hatred to her. And also the stepdaughter, her husband's daughter, says that, what do you mean? I had a father and mother, my mother passed away, and now this woman just walks right in my mother's place and she eats up everything that my mother brought into this marriage. So all these five women were concerned that they might claim that the man had died, but they're really just intending to cause trouble because then they'll have this woman who they hate get married to someone else, and really, this man is still alive, her husband. And he comes back, and then she's forbidden, as we learned in the previous parak, where she comes, her husband's still alive, she has to be tetzei mizeh umizeh, and if we don't believe these five women, because they might actually make this in the trap, they might try to mess her up. Now, but the Mishnah asks, Ma bin get lemisa, what is the difference between a divorce document and a claim of death? Because as we learned in the second paragraph of Masechta Gittin, that even these five women that are not believed to say that the husband died, they're believed when they're coming with a divorce document from overseas, that we rely on them to say that this is a kosher get, even though we have to believe them when they say b'fanei nachtam, as the beginning of Masechta Gittin explains, they have to say something which, without their saying, the get wouldn't have validity. Now, why do we believe them? Maybe they're going to be making a scam again just to make her think that she can marry someone else and then she'll be forbidden to both. As the Mishnah says, Shaksav Meichiach. A get is different because the words, the letters, they show that there's something here, there's some substance. In other words, the primary thing that we rely on is the get. The get is a kasher get, it has witnesses, it was written by a sefer, there's a halachic basis for that. Now, you need b'fanei nachtam, as is machlekes over there, why? To create a validity of the get. But the primary belief system, once that validates the get, it's the get that's having her get married. And therefore, since that's proving it, we're relying on the get and not really on that woman, and that's why it has kosher. But here, where it's based solely on her testimony, or at least that's the primary basis which then has the woman look into it, therefore we don't believe them, and that's not enough to allow the woman to remarry based on that, because we're concerned for this, that they hate that woman. Now the Gemara says, Ibailahu, regarding these five women, they had the following question. Bas Chameha, regarding our father-in-law's daughter, which, as Rashi points out, is not her mother-in-law's daughter. In other words, it's only her husband's paternal sister, not maternal, so they don't share the same mother. Maho, what's the halacha over there? As the Gemara explains the question. And that is, time of the Bas Chamaisa, what's the reason why we said that the daughter of her mother-in-law is not believed to say the testimony? Is it Mishum de'ika ima de sanula? Is it because her mother hates her? As we said, the mother-in-law hates the daughter-in-law. So, hinami sanula, so she also hates her. It's given over, and it's inherited that hatred for that woman. But v'hachaleka ima de sanula, here there's no mother that hates her. In other words, this sister-in-law of hers, which is her husband's paternal sister, she doesn't have a mother hating her because she's not even related to that brother through that same mother. So since there's no mother-in-law hating, the father-in-law doesn't hate, the mother-in-law hates, and here there's no mother-in-law, so therefore when it's only paternal sister, therefore then we would allow the testimony because she doesn't hate her. Or maybe, time of the Bas Chamais, maybe the reason of the hatred of the mother-in-law's daughter to her sister-in-law is because the Amr Ka'achla Legirsin is because she says that my new sister-in-law, meaning my brother's wife, is going to be eating up all the effort, all the work of the ima of my mother. In other words, because my mother, when she got married to my father, came from with her father. Her father sent her into the marriage with all these nechasim, all these nechzitz and barzel, all these nechasim into the marriage, which she brought into the marriage. And now, who inherits that? My brother. Now, but it's not just my brother. My brother's wife, she comes and eats it all up. So that's the case of Bas Chamaisa, so Hachanami. So here also, although in this case, when it's only a paternal sister, not a maternal sister, where this new sister-in-law is not going to be consuming all what her mother brought into the marriage, and the reason is because it's not a maternal brother. It's and actually what happens is in Halach is that the sons of the mother, they actually end up, they inherit what the mother brought into the marriage. As the Mishnah teaches in the Masechtas Ksubis, that what's called benin dichr, in the Ksubis it's written that the male sons, the Yahavian Lechi Minai that you have from me, inun yartun kesev ksubasayich, they inherit the money of your ksuba, yesu al chukoyin de imachoyin, more than what the rest of the brothers are getting. In other words, in a case when this is just her paternal brother, actually that paternal brother is not even getting what her mother brought into the marriage to be concerned that, oh, now his wife, my new sister-in-law, is going to be eating up all that that my mother brought in and worked so hard from my grandfather. That actually doesn't even happen in such a case. So the Bas Chamaisa element is not applicable when you were just Bas Chamoha, but Hochanami here also, in spite of that, Ka'amra Ochlu Lagirsna Debe Noshai. She will say, but this new woman who's coming into the family is going to be consuming all that my father has. My father works, he works so hard, and now the boys get to inherit that. So that's, I'm okay, that's my brother. But I hate my sister-in-law because who does she think is? She just gets married to my brother, and she gets to eat up all these things, and that's why she's going to hate him. So what's the understanding of Bas Chamaisa? Is it because she just inherits her mother's hatred, which mother and daughter are very close in that way, and if there's no mother in that sense, because it's only her paternal brother, she's not going to hate her, and therefore she could say the testimony? Or is the reason not because she inherits the hatred from her mother, because she has her own hatred to her, because she's consuming all that my mother brought in, and therefore the same element could be said for all the effort that my father works, she's eating up all that? So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a riot from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hakol nemonim lo ido, all people are believed to be that one witness to testify for the woman that her husband died, except for five women. Now, Vem Isa, if this was correct, like we're entertaining this thought, that Bas Chameho could also be a woman that hates, well, Shishavin, then it would be six, not five. So obviously, Bas Chameho is not a woman that hates, and therefore must be that the idea is just because she inherits the hatred of her mother. Nothing more says, no, it's not a riot. Dilma time of the Bas Chameho, maybe the reason of the one of the five women that I mentioned, which is her mother-in-law's daughter, is the Amra Ka'ach Ligirsna de Bein Nashai, is because, as we mentioned in the second option, which is because she hates that whatever the case is, but my father's household, whether what my mother brought in because my mother brought stuff in or what my father makes, but it's because she's eating stuff, she just kept walking right into my family and eating up stuff that she has no right. So Leishna Bas Chamai, so Leishna Bas Chamai, and therefore there's no difference. You're right, the Mishnah just picked one of them because of the reason of the mother element, but actually, this thing would apply whether it's her mother-in-law's daughter or her father-in-law's daughter. It doesn't make a difference because just walking right in and and consuming all that this family had worked all these years causes the sister-in-law to hate, and therefore there's no raya from the Mishnah. It could be, it's not necessarily bas chamoisa, it's even bas chameha. And again, because the primary reason of bas chamoisa is the primary reason of bas chameha. Now, but the Gemara asks now, and as Tais explains, it's going on the Mishnah, which, as we just explained, that the specifics of that it's five, even though he said maybe it's six, he said it's really part of the five. But, and the Girsa is Vahatanya, but we learned the Braisa, Chutz Misheva Nashim. We learned, except for seven. In other words, we said it should really be six, and we said, no, it's not really six, that's really five. But the Gemara is asking, but besides that, we have a Braisa that seems to contradict the Mishnah as it is, because it says that there are seven women that are not believed. So the Gemara says it's not a contradiction to our Mishnah, because Hahi Rabbi Yehuda, that's actually going like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says the Tanya, like within the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Maisif Av Eishas Av Vahakala. Rabbi Yehuda adds on to the five another two. He adds two more women that are not believed. One is the stepmother, meaning the father's, meaning her husband's father's wife, Vahakala, and a woman's own daughter-in-law. If the daughter-in-law comes and says, oh, your husband, my father-in-law, passed away, she's not believed. Now, Amalai, in the Braisa, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no reason to make it into seven women. It's actually going to be, like our Mishnah says, five, because Eishes Av Harehi Bechlal Bas HaBal. The halacha that you're saying of a new woman that's not believed, which is the stepmother, is not believed regarding the stepdaughter, that's already included when we said in our Mishnah that the stepdaughter is not believed regarding the stepmother. In other words, since the stepdaughter cannot say testimony for the stepmother, so obviously you can infer that the Eishes Av, which is the stepmother, would not be able to say testimony regarding the Bas Baila, which is the stepdaughter, which is reciprocal. And therefore, that's not really adding on another case. No point in saying that as another woman, because essentially it's the same thing. And moreover, Kala Hari B'chal Chamoisa. There's no point in saying another woman to say, oh, a daughter-in-law is not believed, because it's already included in the mother-in-law. Just like we say a mother-in-law is not believed regarding who? Regarding her daughter-in-law. So a daughter-in-law is not believed regarding her mother-in-law. It's the same thing. There's no point in adding it as another woman. Now, however, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you that no, you definitely have to mention them separately. And the reason is because when it's the other way, when it's from the mother-in-law down to her daughter-in-law, that she's not believed regarding her daughter-in-law because she hates her, that's because, as we explained before, she's saying that all the work that I worked, this woman just walks right in, marries my son, she's going to eat up everything. This woman is going to eat up everything I worked hard for all these years. So it makes sense that the mother-in-law will hate her. But a daughter-in-law, why should she hate her mother-in-law? And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, of course I have to add that case. Because there's that we don't have that same, yes, it's the same relationship in reverse, but that doesn't have the same reasoning of hatred. A mother-in-law has that reason. She's eating up everything I work for. What does the daughter-in-law hate the mother-in-law for to not be believed to say that her husband died? To want to cause her problems in her marriage. She wants her daughter-in-law out because of she doesn't feel like she wants her to be married to her son because she just comes and eats up everything. But why would that work in the reverse? And so too, Bishlam Abbas Habal, same thing is regarding the daughter-in-law, the Sanyula Eishas Av, not the daughter-in-law, the stepdaughter that hates her stepmother, meaning her father's new wife. Because she says, look, my mother worked so hard, did everything, she passed away, and that this new woman comes in, and she's eating up everything my mother worked for? But regarding the stepmother, who we call the Tzigakimina, the one that's coming in, my time is Sanyil Basaba. Why would she hate the stepdaughter? She didn't work for anything. She's just coming in. Whatever she's taking is, so to speak, free that she never worked for. So why should she hate her stepdaughter? Why would she want to cause her problems in her marriage to have her get divorced? To what? To lose out from what the family worked for? Why should she have any of that type of a hatred? So that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds you should add those two cases. But then the question is, Ilhamai Moisif Tarti. So then, since he just explained why he's not included in those other cases, and that, it, let's say, a daughter-in-law doesn't have reason to hate her mother-in-law, so why actually does Rabbi Yehuda add them as separate cases? Why are they not believed? So, rather, the reason of Rabbi Yehuda is that Kala, my time is sending l'chamayis, so why does a daughter-in-law hate her mother-in-law? As we said, it must be for a different reason, and that's why it wasn't included in the other ones, but you still have to count it, because they actually do hate them, it's for a different reason. The Megala Libna called the Avda. A daughter-in-law hates her mother-in-law because the mother-in-law tells her son, everything that her daughter-in-law is doing wrong and say, oh, she did this, did that, and therefore she hates her. So it's for a different reason, and that's why she wants to mess her up, but not because of the same reason that a mother-in-law hates a daughter-in-law. So to Aishas Av, Nami San Labasabal, a stepmother hates her stepdaughter, the Megala La'avid called the Avda, which we find the same theme by what's called Tzigikim, and there's someone that's coming in, a new one, into the family, where that they're saying wrong things that that person's doing, and that the stepdaughter says to her father, oh, and she's like this, and she does that, and because she tells all the bad things to her new husband, that's why she hates her and she wants to mess her up. But again, they have to be mentioned because they're actually different components that it is than what it is in the original way. Now, on that, the Gemara says, however, the Rabbanan would tell you, quoting a Pasuk of Mishlei, and therefore, based on this Pasuk of Mishlei, they say that no, it doesn't have to be a new reason. It's included in the same reason as they said before, because as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, kamayim, like water that a person looks into and he sees that hapanim lapanim, that the face is like his face. In other words, if he's smiling, he sees the water reflecting back a smile. If his lips are curved, then he sees the lips curved there also. And so just like this metaphor of water, kein levo adam la adam, so too is a person's heart to another person's heart. Meaning that if a person in his heart loves someone else, then that person will love him too. If he hates him, that person will hate him too. And therefore, the Rabban said we didn't have to add them as separate cases. And the reason is because already from the first reason that we have, from let's say Chamoisa to the daughter-in-law, that she's already, the daughter-in-law is not going to be believed for that reason itself. And the reason is since the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law hates the daughter-in-law, and that we said for the reasoning because she's eating up everything. So for that reason itself, the daughter-in-law hates the mother-in-law. And so too, since the stepdaughter hates the stepmother, for that reason itself, the stepmother will hate the stepdaughter because of these Wi-Fi type of feelings, which is that if you have that feeling to someone else, that person will automatically reciprocate that same feeling. And therefore she hates her because she hates her. Nothing, you don't have to create a new reason. That's what the Rabban said. There's no reason of adding that as another case because they hate them just for the fact that they hate them. No, but Rabbi Yehuda, he says no. And that's why he adds on as separately. He says, no, if someone hates you, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll hate them back. And because he actually interprets that pasuk in a different way. He says, Ahiba divri tariqsib. That pasuk is talking about the words of Torah. And that is, according to the face and the heart that you put into Torah, so then your heart will stand for you that you'll understand the words of Torah. In other words, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that if you got to, if you put the effort in, then tims you'll find the words of Torah. If you don't, then you won't. In other words, your heart has to be in it. That's what the Pasuk's talking about. Or another interpretation, Rashi says that if the teacher is what's called Masbir Leponim, he explains things to him, so then the student will become smart. But if not, he will not be able to understand his learning from his teacher, and that's what the Pasuk's saying, but nothing to do with this reciprocal mirror neurons you're getting from a person, what they reflect to you getting back, that's not necessarily the case, and therefore, just because one hates one doesn't mean the other one will hate, and that's where you had to add on as a separate reasoning. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings the following question. Amar of Achabar Avya, he said, Boi b'marav. And that's all, they pose the following question. Chamaisa habol la'achar mekein. Regarding a possible future mother-in-law. Now, what that means is that this woman is her brother-in-law's mother, meaning what we call the Yavam. It's her Yavam's mother, but not her husband's mother, because they're paternal brothers, but not maternal brothers. Now, maybe this woman will ultimately be her mother-in-law if her husband dies without any children and then that Yavam does Yibum. So the question is, Mahu, what would be the halacha in such a case? In other words, would we believe with this woman, who's the Yavam's mother, to tell this woman that your husband died and therefore do Yibum to my son or let my son do Chalitza to you and then you marry someone else? What would be the halacha? As the Gemara explains, the pivotal component of this question. Mi maska, do we say that the mother-in-law of this Yavam, in other words, this mother of the Yavam, entertains Adaita in her head that maybe the Miss Baal, the Naflakama Yavam, maybe if it's true that this husband died, then she's going to fall to her Yavam, which is my son. And if she falls to my son, wait a second, she's going to eat up all the hard work that I did. And therefore, she'll intend to mess her up now so that she will never come to a situation that her son could go ahead and do Yibam, which is true Yibam in the future, because if it turns out that her husband's really still alive, she has to be Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, Oiloi, or maybe not. Or maybe we say, no, she's not going that far. She's not a mother-in-law yet. She's entertaining them. Maybe if I say in other words, she's so concerned for the future that maybe at one point her son's paternal brother will die and without any children, and then she'll fall. So even now she's already scheming to mess her up and say, you know what? Maybe 10 years from now that's going to happen. She's then going to eat up all the hard work. Let me mess her up now. Let me say that her husband died and then that my son should do Yimtar or Chalitza and she'll marry someone else. Whatever, the main idea is that she'll marry someone else. Then her husband will come back and she'll have to leave. She'll be messed up. She won't be able to stay married to his brother and therefore she'll never end up coming to be married to my son. Is it such a hatred with a mother-in-law to the daughter-in-law that it's even for the future type of a template or not? Now Rashi points out, although that we explained in the Mishnah, in the case of what was called Yevimta, which is a case of a future tzara, that we see that people scheme and hate someone, even for just a potential future that could be, which is that when it's her brother-in-law's, her husband's paternal brother's wife, who could be one day her Yevama, that even now she hates her, and therefore we don't believe her. So why don't we say the same thing to resolve this question of the mother-in-law? And the reason is because, as Rashi says, that's very different. Because that's a physical pain. Which means to say, to be married to the same man with that same woman, and we're going to be in competition. So that already now, she's always thinking about and worrying about, and therefore we don't believe her even now. But the hatred of a mother-in-law to a daughter-in-law, as the Gemara is putting it down, is a monetary component. She's just concerned that she'll eat up all the things, but it's not a physical thing. They're not living together. She's living with her son. And then from that, maybe that she wouldn't be so concerned about and even scheming about it now. Or not. Or maybe that would be the same. That's the Gemara's question, but it's not exactly like the case of Yevimta, which is a future tzara. So that's the Gemara's question. Would we believe her or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's learn from a Mishnah later on that says, if a woman says, she comes back from overseas, she says, look, my husband died, and then my father-in-law died, which means to say they were both in some area, and first my husband died, then the father-in-law died. So the halacha of the Mishnah says, is tinasa v'titl ksuba, like any woman that says her husband died, she's believed, she can get married, and she takes a ksuba. But v'chamaisa asura, her mother-in-law, is still forbidden. Now, the chiddush of that Mishnah is that although she first said my husband died, now, once she's believed on that, comes out that her mother-in-law is not her mother-in-law anymore. She's like an unrelated woman because she's only a mother-in-law when she's married to the husband. The husband is dead, she's not her mother-in-law. And in spite of that, the Mishnah says, she's not believed to say that her father-in-law died. And hence, her mother-in-law is still forbidden, although she's not really her daughter-in-law anymore. So on that, the Gemara wants to prove, my time, Achamai says, so what's the reason that the mother-in-law is forbidden? She's not her mother-in-law. She's not one of the five women. She should be believed. Rather, shouldn't we say, La Mishum Damrin and Loi Baila Mais? Isn't it because we say that, no, actually the truth is, her husband actually didn't even die. And this woman is still her mother-in-law. And V'loi Chamir Mais, and the truth is, the whole thing was fabricated, and neither did her father-in-law die. Now, V'hod the Kramah Hachi, now this, however, that the Kala, the daughter-in-law, is coming with such a story, her intention is, L'kakula L'chamaisuhu D'kemechavna. Her intention and her purpose is to just mess up her mother-in-law. And Savar, why is she saying this? Because she's thinking, Labasar Shaita Leitesi Titzdaren, isn't it going to be that, yes, now her son, meaning her mother-in-law's son, which is her husband, they went on a father-son trip, and they went away overseas. Now, right now, her mother-in-law is not bothering her, because as we said before, the whole reason why the daughter-in-law hates the mother-in-law is because she tells her son this, and tells her son that, and everything that she's doing wrong, but her son's not here now. Her husband's away, her son's away, so she's staying out of her life, and she's not bothering her. But still we see, as what's obvious from that Mishnah, that right now, the daughter-in-law is scheming and worrying that, I want to mess up my mother-in-law now, even though they went, let's say, on a three-month trip away, because in 3 months, when my husband and her husband come back, then she's going to go back right back to lambasting again and complaining and saying all these things they do wrong. And therefore, even now, she's scheming. So therefore you see that you should say the same idea in the question that we're talking about. Regarding this case of what's called Chamaisa Bolach Mekain, that is a potential future mother-in-law, that just like we see over here, that she's worried about a future situation of her mother-in-law, that we say that we don't believe her, even though based on her testimony she's not even the daughter-in-law, we say that she made up the whole thing. She made up that her husband died, she made up that her father-in-law died just to mess her up, even though right now it's not active. But since for a future situation she's worried about a future mother-in-law, so to over here, regarding this mother-in-law to the daughter-in-law, we should say that a future mother-in-law, even now she's scheming about. So another thing where it says, no, it's no raya. Because Dimashan the husband, maybe that case of that mission is different. Because the Rugish Lotzaira, this daughter-in-law has already felt the physical pain. She already has this internal working memory of all the pain that her mother-in-law has done for all these 10 years. And this is an old, ingrained pain that she has and hatred that she has ingrained in her body to her mother-in-law. Because she's married 10 years. Now her husband went off for 3 months. That doesn't make a difference. She's still scheming about her mother-in-law. But the case we're discussing about this possible future mother-in-law, where she never was her mother-in-law, that wouldn't be a riot to resolve from here to say that she already hates her, even if that's just a monetary type of a case, but it's not something that you already have. It's an ingrained hatred, even though it's only for the future, that you could say that you'll hate even now, and therefore not be believed. But here, where you've never had that, maybe it wouldn't be the same, and therefore the Gemara doesn't resolve this question. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme about other people saying testimony, which we said regarding a Neguna, we said that even one witness is believed. So the Mishnah says, Eid Omer Meis Benissis. Let's say, as the halacha is, as we've been discussing in these previous parakim, that if one witness says that your husband died and she gets married, which she's allowed to, but Obo Echad V'amad Lai Meis, then subsequently, a different one witness comes and says, it's not true, he's not dead, I saw he's still alive. So halacha is Harezu Loi Teitze, as Yimor will explain, that she doesn't have to leave this new marriage that she's in. Now, let's say Eid Omer Meis, let's say one witness said that he's dead, B'shnayim Omrim Leimeis, and two witnesses say that he's not dead, then Ava Pishanissis, and even if she had already gotten married based on that one witness's testimony, Teitze, she has to leave the marriage because of two witnesses that are stronger than the one aid, and she has to leave. Now, Shnayim Omrim Meis, let's say two witnesses says that he died, V'eid Omer Leimeis, and one witness says that he didn't die, then the halacha is Ava Pishanissis, even if she didn't even get married yet based on their testimony, she not say she could get married because we do not consider the testimony of one aid in place of two witnesses that say that she could get married. Now the Gemara explains these three halachas. The Gemara asks regarding the case of the Reisha that talks about when one says that he died and got married and one said that he didn't die, she doesn't have to leave because of that one witness. Now on that the Gemara asks, it sounds like time of the Nisus. The reason why she doesn't have to leave this new marriage is because she already got married based on that one witness's testimony. But it sounds like Haloi Nisus Loi Tinase. She didn't get married yet, but they came to Bezin, one witness said her husband died, he's believed, she goes, she's ready to get married to someone else, walking to the chuppah, and a witness comes and says, screaming, no, it's not true, he is still alive. It sounds like then she wouldn't be able to get married. But the question is, but Ula said, wherever the Torah believed one witness, which in this case is contextually for the halacha of Iguna, we believe one witness in this halacha of how to get remarried. Then, Harei Kan Shnayim, we consider that one witness like two witnesses because the Torah says you need two witnesses. But there are certain halachas that we allow one witness for, but they have the same authority, the same power as two witnesses. And therefore, Vein Dvar V'shal Echad B'Malkam Shnayim, we do not consider the testimony of one witness in the place of two. And therefore, if we already paskin the halacha that said that she can get married based on this one witness, it's like two witnesses. We believe for Iguna purposes a witness that says that he died. So now one person saying that he's not dead, he's just one. There's no such halacha of Iguna believing one like two. He's just one, and we already paskin it based on the two, the one that is like two. So why would we stop the marriage even if she's not married yet? So I think Mer says, you're right, Nohachikama, what the Mishnah was saying was, Eid Echad Oim Mes, if one witness says that he died, V'hitiruha lehinase. And they permitted her to get married. Not that Vanessa that she literally got married. That they permitted her to get married. And then what witness comes and says that he's not dead. Then we do not remove her, not from the marriage, because she's not married yet, from her permission to get married. Now, as Rashi points out, it's only if that we already passed in the halacha, Bezdin already closed up the case, and one witness had already said that it's permitted. Now, then the second one will not be able to believe to refute that. But if he came, let's say the one witness comes and says he's dead, and in the middle of the court case, he runs in and says, not true, he's still alive, then actually Ullah would agree that we do not rely on the first one because we never yet consider this one witness like two. It's only when we find the halacha, then he's like has the same authority as two. But he is just one person. So if another one person comes at the same time and says that he's not dead, we wouldn't believe that one as one, as two, and actually then she would not be able to get married. Now the Mishnah then said that if eight oimim mess, that if one witness says that he died, but ubo edim va'amru loimes, and then even though she got married, two witnesses come and say that he's not dead, then the Mishnah says teitzei, she has to leave that marriage. We believe two over one. So the Gemara asks, pshita, it's pretty obvious. Even Ula would agree, that we don't consider the testimony of one who said that he's dead to allow her to marry in place of two witnesses who, yes, although we said that one witness is considered like two, but we don't consider him as two in place of when there's two. And when there's real two witnesses, we consider him as one, and therefore he's butled to the two, and we don't say it's like trey betray. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Of course, everyone would agree that even though the one witness allows the authority of two, when you have real two witnesses, they'll refute him, and therefore she'll have to leave the marriage. So I think Gemara says, loy, no. Tzricha b'psuli edus. The chiddush of the Mishnah was, when those two were what called general invalid witnesses. Now, although the two that are saying that he's not dead are women who are not generally valid witnesses, now, but they are kosher in certain halachas, which is like in this case of when we believe one witness, in the case of Iguna, to allow a woman to remarry. So although they're women, the first witness will be batel, we will not believe him in the place of these two women. And that's the case that we needed to say the chiddush in the Mishnah, that even though the two that are subsequently coming that saying that he's not dead are only women, still we're going to believe them over that one witness. As the Gemara says, it's like Reb Nechemya's halacha. To tell like Luna Braisa. Nechemya, he says, wherever the Torah believed one witness, in other words, what that means is, conceptually, is that we're not working with the general category of the halachas of testimony. Because just like we believe one witness, so then we'll also consider those people that are generally invalid for testimony. In other words, we're not going with the criteria of witnesses, we're just going based on what people are saying. Now, therefore, moreover, halach achar reiv deis, we go based on the majority of opinions. What that means is that we don't have to inspect, are you a kosher aid, a puzzle aid, it doesn't make a difference, we believe even one, and therefore, if there's two saying one way, whether they're kosher aidim or not, meaning that they're women, we'll believe the majority. And hence, in this category of halacha, they equated the testimony of two women against one witness. In other words, when they're refuting the testimony of the one aid, even though he's an aid kasher, and they say that he's not dead, that's the equivalent of kishne anashim b'ish echad, where in the regular halacha case, when you have two witnesses that are kosher against one witness, where the first one is batel, so even if they had gotten married based on that, they'd have to leave. That's the chiddush that the Mishnah is saying, even if they're women who are pesuli edis, who are generally not believed, here, since they're the majority, they'll be believed against even that one eid kosher, who we even consider on some level like two. It's not really, because it's in that category of pesuli edis, where we don't go based on that, it's just based on opinions. So two outweighs the opinion of one. Well, the Gemara says, v'ibay semi, truthfully, you could say another approach, that kol heicha da'asa eid echad kosher mi'ikar, wherever originally that where there was one witness that was a valid witness, a man that was originally the one that said the testimony first, who we then permitted her to get married based on his testimony that said that he's dead, then actually, then even 100 women, in response to that one man, we would still consider, as we always do generally in halacha, that even 100 women are like just one witness's testimony. And therefore, just like we said in the Mishnah, that when you have the first one saying testimony that he died, and then the second one witness says that he's, after they got married, says that, or permission to get married, said that he's not dead, we say that the first one is like two in response to the second one that's like one, and we don't consider that one in place of the first one that's like two. So too, even 100 women would actually be batel and would not be able to override the first one's testimony. And actually, that's not the case that the Mishnah is talking about, that we said that when the later two witnesses come and say testimony, that would have to be teitzei. Ella, rather, the halacha is that the Mishnah is saying that even if she gets married by the one witness's testimony, when two witnesses come along and say that he's not dead, she'd have to leave, That's Toma Kagurin de Asoi Ishamekar. That's Toma, for example, if the first witness's testimony that said that he was dead, that allowed her to get married based on the testimony, was a woman. And in that, the Mishnah would be saying a chiddush that actually, although we do consider on some level this first woman like two witnesses, because ultimately all halacha needs two witnesses. Now we said in certain cases we believe even one witness like two witnesses, and we'll even believe an aid pasul like an aid kasher, so this first woman essentially is like two witnesses. And then maybe you'd say that, oh, if we allowed these two witnesses, in other words, this first woman, like two witnesses because of Iguna, so then these second two women who, as we see, they're not even like two witnesses, because in regards to one man, we say that regarding an aid kasher, even 100 women are like one witness, and maybe you would say that then the first woman would be believed and she wouldn't have to leave the marriage. That would say that no. Since the first witness is not really aid kasher, it's just a woman, and the second are two women, so then the two women will override the one woman. And therefore, if that's the way we'll explain the Mishnah, so Retartzel Reb Nechemiah Hachah, then you have to correct the interpretation of Nechemiah as follows. Now, what did the Braisa say? Nechemiah Omer, he says, Kamokum Sheminu Torah Erecha, wherever the Torah believed one witness, like in the case we're discussing in Biguna, Halach Acher Reb Deis, then you go based on the majority of opinions, but the way we're amending the text is, V'asur Shtei Noshim Be'isha Achas. And therefore, the Rabbanim made the equivalent of two later women, which they're saying testimony, let's say in our case, of that he didn't die. In the testimony of one woman, again, not like we said that it was one man in the first version, our Kishnei Anoshim B'Ishechad is equivalent of when you have two men saying in regards to when, in the contrast to one man, where we say that the two override the one. However, but truthfully is, like the second version is saying, Shtei Anoshim B'Ishechad, when there's two women against one man, who if the first heter was through one man and they're saying he's not dead, would actually be kapalga upalga them. It would be like 50-50. In other words, it would be like when the first one was one witness who said that he died and then permitted her to get married, and then another one later comes and says that he's not dead. We said in the Mishnah, when that's like 50-50, one saying yes and one saying not, we would say that once they're already permitted to marry, the second one would not remove from it, because we say the first one's like two on some level, and therefore the one cannot come b'makom shnayim. That actually would be the case, even if you have one man and two women, according to the second version. But the Mishnah, what the Chiddush is saying, is that even though there's two women against one woman, who even that woman is like two on some level, and even like two kosher, we say that no, and therefore that's the case. We're saying that the two will override the one. Now finally, for the third and last case in our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, Shnaim Oimer Meis V'chulu, that if two say that he's dead, and one witness comes along and says that he's not dead, then even if they didn't get married yet, she can go ahead and get ahead married, even though one is saying that he's not dead, because we believe two over one. Gemara asks, my Kamash, what would be the Chiddush in this part of the Mishnah? What are you going to say? That those two that are saying that he's dead are bipsuli edis. That it's a chiddush that even though they're two over one, but they're, let's say, women, those that are pasul for edis generally. And you'll say that the chiddush is a kudrim nechemia, the asl basa reib deis, that you go after the majority of opinions, but hainu hach, that's the same thing as the previous case, where we said that we believe even psuli edis over an eid kasher when it's two versus one. So what would be the chiddush in saying it this way, when the two are saying that she can get married and the one saying that she cannot? So I think Mar says, no, that's a chiddush, because ma de tema, you would think to say, kiyaz lin bas reib deis, when do we say that we go after the majority of opinions? Not in regard to halacha, are you an eid kasher? What's their status? That's only l'chumra. Maybe that's only as a stringency, which was in the previous case of the Mishnah, when we said because of the majority of opinions, we'll say she has to leave that marriage. But as a leniency, maybe we wouldn't say that we go after the majority of opinions, and we would go based on different criteria. That's a chiddush of the third, the safe of the Mishnah. It's saying that no, the halacha is that in these cases that when we believe one witness, we go after the majority of opinions, whether it's l'chumra or even if it's going to be a leniency that she could get married because of their testimony. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah again, continuing on this theme about witnesses coming and saying that her husband died. So the Mishnah is talking about a case, as we had said in the previous Mishnah, when the woman herself is believed. There's two women that are co-wives, both men married to the same man. So the three of them went overseas, the husband and his two wives, and they come back from overseas. And Achas Omeres Meis, one says that my husband died on the trip that we were on. Now the Achas, the other wife, the co-wife, Omeres Lemeres, this is not true. our husband is not dead. So the Mishnah paskins, Zushe meres meis tinasa v'tidla k'subasa. The one that says that he died, she's believed that that's the halacha we say regarding Yiguna, and she could marry someone else and take her k'suba. But v'zushe meres loy meis loy tinasa v'tidla k'subasa. The one that says that no, that he didn't die, she cannot get married and she cannot take her k'suba because A, she's doing shavya nafshi chaticha disu, she's saying that he's still alive, so of course she cannot get married. And moreover, her co-wife's testimony, as we said in the previous Mishnah, doesn't even work for her, so she cannot get married. Mishnah says, if achas emeres mes, let's say they come back from the trip and one of them says he died. V'achas emeres nerag, he didn't die, meaning he didn't get sick and die, but rather he was killed. So Remeirim, he says, since they're contradicting each other, so they cannot get married because they're saying different things. Now the Gemara is going to ask, so Remeir should really ask, he should have argued already in the Reish already. When we had one that said that he's dead and one said that he's not dead, he should have said, oh, since they're contradicting each other, the one that said that he's dead cannot get married. The Gemara will discuss that. Now, but Reb Shimon and Reb, they argue under Meir, and they say, no, since they ultimately both agree that he's not alive, one said that he got killed, and one said that he just died, but Yinasu, therefore in such a case, since ultimately both agree that he's dead, they could get married. Now, however, as Rashi points out, but in the case of when one agrees and one doesn't agree, then both of them would not be able to get married. Rather, it would be only the one that's saying the testimony, but here when they're both agreeing, they're just saying different nuances, then they both could get married. Now the Mishnah says, if eight oimer mes, one witness says that he's dead, if eight oimer loimes, one witness says that he's not dead, or ishay meres mes, one wife says that he's dead, the ishay meres loimes, and the other wife says that he's not dead, so halacha is, ha-rezu lo tinase, then the woman cannot get married, because they have one saying he's dead, one saying he's not dead. Now, the reason is, as the Gemara will point out, that since the other one is coming before, as we pointed out previously, that we permitted based on the testimony of one, now, so even if the second one is her co-wife, it will make her forbidden, as the Gemara will say, that this anonymous part of the Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, that he says that actually a co-wife could contradict her other co-wife in the saying that although a woman's believed regarding herself to say that her husband died to get married, but if her co-wife says that he's not dead, she is believed to contradict her and not allow that own woman's testimony to allow herself to get married. And therefore, when the Be'isha Meres Loy Mes, even if that's her tzara, like Reb Meir says, Harez Loy Tinase, because they're contradicting each other, one saying he died, one saying he was murdered. Either way, if they contradict each other, it doesn't allow either one to get married.